foreign wall.
And this is Reverend Dennis Glenn?
Dennis Glenn.
You don't know what kind of work he did. He didn't make enough money from the church.
No, no, he done nothing. Now, how you gonna make money out of 10 or dozen eggs? And if you look at the early fries, 10 of peaches or dry fruit. See, that's the way we paid our preachers most of to leave late year. See, people didn't have a lot of money. And whatever you had, you shared it with the pastor. You pound the pastor. You carry a bushel of corn or ham or meat, if I raise country ham, and give the preacher some. And what little money you wouldn't pay him but 5 or 10 cents on Sunday. And maybe you run out to $1, have a rally twice a year in May and October, and you'd raise it, the women pay 50 cents and the men $1. Well, they've done that right here at my church.
What kind of rally was this?
Well, maybe in May, you'd have a big day, celebration like. Everybody come and bring down, and you'd serve down, and all the kin folks from far and near would come and meet up. You'd have all day meeting, 2 or 3 sermons. And then you'd pay regular to salary, you see. We'd call it a rally. And the men would pay $1, the women 50 cents. While you see, they'd raise $25 or $30. That was a big collection. Then you'd pound the preacher. Fall of the year when you gathered up all your sweet potatoes and corn and peanuts, you'd pound the preacher. Everybody carry some of the stuff to give the preacher some. And you'd have another rally and raise $25 or $30.
You mentioned singing and the rally there. Did you ever attend any of the camp meetings?
Lloyd, that was the Methodist. Camp meeting, you know, they'd go in camp. Now, that was down Bedford Grove. Lord, but all my people, you see, they weren't members, but that was for all body, every nomination. Once a year in September, they'd have the camp meeting in Bedford Grove. Well, everybody would come. Now, I hear my mama say in her time, they'd pack the wagon and get all the children, bring the car sometime, so they'd have milk on the camp and stay a week. Well, in my day, it could cut down from that. They'd have fish, tables, you know, sell, and then for the preachers and all, they'd carry a covered basket. But just the outsiders could make money, and they'd have fish to sell and cakes and custards and things.
And this is people from all denominations coming together.
Yeah, that would be come together to Bethlehem Grove thing, to the camp meeting. That was called a camp meeting. And it used to, in my mama's day, last a week. But later on, you see, they cut it till they just start gathering Friday evening and putting up the tent.
Did they put up tents then to stay in when your mother was going? Yeah,
they could come and bring the tent, you see, and food to last them and camp out a week and have service.
How long would the services be?
That's what I say. You see, they'd have every night.
Just at night?
Yeah, they'd have the service. During the daytime, they'd be cooking and, you know, enjoying fellowshipping. But then the preachers would come in and start singing and shouting and have the good revival life.
Who was in charge of the services?
Oh, I don't know. See, the Methodists, the different preachers would come from different districts. And then the Baptists and Methodists, everybody could go and share. But they always had their pastors, maybe one that come from Lowanson County to be conducting it. And where they held the meeting, they had a pastor. Well, he'd be there as, you know, with the master of ceremony. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what they called it then.
Do you remember any of your older relatives talking about camp meetings that they went to when they were younger?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You see, that's when they come and camp the week. See, the children would come to bring the cow.
When your mother was young?
Yeah. You see, that's what I say. When she was a child, her dad and sisters could, they had to come from Townsville. The camp meeting was down here between here and Clemson, the old Bethel of Rope with the airport. See, they all come from far near. I chant to Bethel of Rope to the camp meeting. Why, they just load up the wagon with the quilts and the blankets and the whatever they made the tent out of, and come and spend a week. I know she said they brought the cot, you know, and they have milk for the babies and children. It's going to be there a week. And they come in then the weekend, like Friday evening and Saturday and Sunday, and then break up late Sunday evening, everybody load up and go home. And she said those was good times. And since I was 18, while they'd come and have a good time, but they'd walk and lick ice cream more. They didn't shout and have the meetings good like they did. Just kind of a social thing. You know, everything weighs down. Not like it used to be. Nothing.
Did the black and white people ever get together?
I'm going to tell you. It's funny. The black people first joined the white people's church before they got their churches. They would go and they had the upstairs for them to see.
When was this? When your mother was young?
Yeah, when her mother was young. See, they'd go upstairs and sit in the gallery for it. But now white people have always liked to go to black people's church and do this. Because right here in Shiloh, all these young traders and things that you see here, they'd be just as glad for this black people's revival to start. Because they wasn't going to miss it. They'd come. And still some of them wore bright school to Shiloh now, and they having a big day, they wouldn't miss it.
So when your grandmother was small and your mother was small, they started out by being a member of the white church.
Yeah, you see, this church down here, between you and Clemson, they got their history of the black that joined that church and were baptized. See, there was no other church
left. What church is that?
It's a Shiloh down here, you know, white. Between you and Clemson, just down the road, before you get to the river. Wait for the film. You see, that was, it tells our miss her, as long as the white lady was living, she had the history of the first slaves. I forgot her name, could be in Sarah or somebody. They joined that church and were baptized. See, they were baptized. They give them the privilege to go to church and make their confession and was baptized. But they were just separated, you know. They didn't sit together and go on in their life. It was mighty good. They had some mighty good stuff like they
did. Did the black people sing at the white churches? Or did they couldn't sing?
No, conducted the service, but they got happy. And they will get happy. And you get to sing in the spirit is, we don't care where we is, long as we can open our mouth, we'll be a witness. I can tell you that. And then, as little as you may know about it, the one spirit, and everybody got some good in them, it goes out together. White people and black people have always had a certain portion of spirit, good spirit. And there have always been some good in every race, every nationality. I know that. And I still can witness it. And then in each race, you got just as many people against each other, knock each other, it is mine. There's just plenty of us. Just ain't gonna get along without self.
You're talking about singing and getting happy and enjoying the songs. Do you remember some of the songs?
Swing low, sweet chariot, swing low and all. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's some of good old spiritual. I gave that, Eddie. And I'll trust in the Lord. Well, I'm gonna trust in get right, church, and let's go home. I can't sing, and my voice is vocal, it's not good. But honey, right now you hear some of get right, and they used to could sing. They don't sing now, they were trying to sing like y'all. But when we sang like we were supposed to sing, honey, I'm standing on a solid rock that'll never give away. Climbing Jacob's ladder. All them good old spirit, John.
What do you see the big difference in the black and white singing?
I don't know. We were born to sing. And those slaves wrote those and composed some of the most beautiful. Their tribulation made them be composers of some of the most beautiful poetry and carried out in song that's ever been written. I can tell you that. It's the divine power was some of the most beautiful. Now that's one thing. And y'all sang. And y'all went to try and sing like us. And we went to try and sing like, and you're making a mess of it.
Do you remember your mother telling you any of these songs or any of the poetry that the old slaves wrote and all?
That's what I'm telling you. Swing Low Tree, Carrot was one. Now that's a Negro poetry. If he composed out in the field, because you see, and oh, I can't tell, I'm trying to think when I had it on my mind. They had a way to give a sign by, you know, be singing about old master. And they, one crowd would be on one side. And they'd holler this song. And they know what, see, the white folks didn't know what they're saying, but they understood. And they'd holler back and say, but yeah, they sang that song. Oh, I had one in mind. I meant to mention because my mom and we'd say, so yeah, they couldn't just sing out, you know, and talk out, but they had it fixed so they would know what it meant, the signal. Yes, sir.
What happened if they were singing about Master and he caught them? What would happen?
I don't know what they, because they say, yeah, Moss couldn't. You know, there's so much they couldn't do that they was going to slip off and kill a hog of monsters and have a big eat out at night. They throw the signs out. They done all of that to see monsters be in the bed and didn't know it. They'd way down yonder in the little cabin and kill a hog or whatever they want and have a big, big party. And they could give the sign out, but now you know Master Ben not catch them.
They give a sign in their singing?
Yeah, they could give signs in their singing to each other, and they understood it. Because they couldn't get together and just communicate.
How often do you think they did that? Could they get together?
Oh, they got together during winter. You see, that was parching peanuts and corn and things like that. That was what they had to do for amusement when it was snowing and all, and they had to be careful because, see, they had overseers, and Master wasn't as bad as the overseers. But if the overseers caught them, and you know, they could track them in the snow and all that stuff. Well, you went over there to the cabin, Hutton's cabin and like that. The overseers, I think, was worse than the real slave owners. See, they had overseers to take care of. The slave owners didn't do a lot because they loved those people and treat them, and they'd take them one, get sick, you know, they'd go get them and bring them in out. But the overseers, you know, they, a lot of time he was jealous of the way the slaves have got advantage, you know. They, the overseers wasn't nobody he was working for salary and he wasn't getting nothing. His slave was being treated in a way better than he was. And that's what the whole thing is about now. You know, Negroes cannot stand poor whites. They fight against each other. That's who make all the racket. They just can't stand each other. Now, that's right. Because they didn't count. These first class slaves, they didn't count poor white people. They just didn't count them. No. They was glad to be owned by monsters because they had a lot better. They did them overseers. Now, I've heard them tell last time and again, my granddaddy and uncle, you know, what they daddy would tell them. You know, that's where the big problem comes, the overseers. Ma'am.
What were some of the things that their fathers told them about the overseers?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They couldn't get along because they were jealous of the slaves. And the overseers would make it hard on the slaves because said due to the fact they were just jealous. You see, those slave owners was crazy about their property. Their property, that was their money, they sold them. And this trash, they called it free. They had nothing but he just happened to have a job and he would try to be overbearing to impress. You understand what I'm trying to say. That's the way they tell it and I kind of believe it. You know, you see so much now that it's all the same thing, just out in a different open. It's in a different way, in a different open. I like honesty better than anything. Honesty.
What kind of houses did your grandfather and father live in, the slaves, when they were
young? Well, you see, they had these little one-room cabinets, a two-room, just it's sometimes made out of rock or log, and a chimney and a door and a window. Oh, we used to have a picture. I don't know if you've been moving around. You know, things like that now that would be something to me, you just didn't value it and take care of it. Just didn't value it. But I know I can see my grandpa, even back then, sitting in this little, well, it might have had two rooms, but seemed like me, the fireplace, the shin, the skillet, the cook, and the bed was back here. In the corner of one room, it might have had a little off-shed room there. And his picture, Dr. Nimmons's daddy Nimmons, that's my grandma. She used to work for them, and they had her picture. Miss Farmer, she was a farmer. Dr. Nimmons' mother was a farmer. And she had my grandma's picture, and I think my sister got it. She gave it to one of the grandchildren in Virginia. She promised to get one, maybe send it back. But things like that, you know, we didn't treasure. We didn't know they'd be valuable someday. Just didn't know. And if you don't know, you don't know.
How many people would stay in that one room or two room house?
About many years. I'm trying to think. I remember when I was going to prison. I believe my mama had about 7 children and 3. See, you had one big long room, little shed room. You had just like this house now, 1, 2, 3. Then on to the side of that, you'd make a shed, like, for the boys. You'd hurl that in. And I don't know whether they called it a room or 2 rooms or 3 rooms, but you'd have 3-room house. This, just like I count from my front door back here, now that's 3 rooms.
Would each slave family have a house to themselves?
Oh, yeah, most of them, no, they didn't pile them up. They'd have their own apartment, like. It'd all be just, you could see them in rows. They'd be all in Harlan District. And then the cook, you see the nurse and cook, they stayed in the house with Mister. She had her little room built onto the big house. See, she had to be there to take care of them babies and things, and she knew what. That's when I said something down them poor overseers. See, now that nurse and cook, they were took care of, honey.
Did your mother do that?
No, my mother, see, when she come along, she was free, so she didn't have to stay, but she had cooked down in the white folks' house, but we had our own house. And she'd go and cook for Miss Woolbright, the Woolbright. Most good. She didn't do much waking out for white people because she had children of her own. Took her all time patching and washing and ironing and taking care of them. She was what you'd call a homemaker. Now, she was neighborly. Her and the people got along. She'd take care of the people. Jeremy's farmer going to Anderson. That was Dr. Nimmons's mother. She bring her children and my mama keep them all day and night while she go down some shopping. Yes, sir. Make them a, you didn't give them a ball like you have to. Get some sugar, I don't know what to put in. Make them a sugar tea. I know the big child would run up and snatch the little and say, get a good suck over. He get, I've done that. Honey, you just ought to come along and see something and jump back. Because if you'd come along then, I don't know where you're going to come back to this drug-ridden country. You know?
Let me go back to something else. You said part of the singing conventions that you went to. How often did you go to them?
You see this?
Was it once a month? Or?
No, the singing convention. Now, every Sunday we go to church, we have good singing. But now the singing convention come annual, that in seminary, every 3 months ever, twice a year. The Sunday school convention, you get the delegates, that's where we meet and met for our Seneca Institute up here. We call it convention day. Trustee vote in all the churches in the community supported Seneca Institute. That was our school of higher education. And a lot of Negroes went there and graduated and got good jobs and went on into the field. We got some of the greatest Negroes anywhere in the country. Come right out of Seneca Institute over here. You know, Dr. J.J. Starks, that's fine. And we got, I don't care, you can't find them white or black, any greater, any smarter. Then they come from Seneca Institute over here. That's right.
So you had your singing conventions like at the Institute?
Yeah, we'd have Sunday school convention, singing convention, and when they got there and sang them old notes and things, honey, do me so. They know we can sing music without the instrument by giving the notes a sound. Get your songbook and sound that note. Oh, they paid good times. You can say whatever you want. I don't care what you want to say. We've had some good times. We might have been deprived of some opportunity. We still depriving ourselves of opportunities. We ourselves depriving ourselves of opportunities. And I don't know who haven't been deprived of some opportunities. That's been the making, that is the class, that's in the air of life. There's always been a top and a bottom. And if you're on the bottom, you don't have to stay here. Just cause you're down there, if you get a thing going up, then it's up.
How long did those singing conventions last? Were they all day or several days?
Yeah, we'd have, now you take up in July. The fourth week in July, we'd have what we call the Sunday School Convention. All the churches in the Oconee County would come together and have the Sunday schools of those churches.
All black churches?
Yeah.
Of all denominations? Baptist,
no,
Baptist,
no, or? This is the Baptist. Just I'm the talking Baptist. About us Baptists okay. now. Them Methodist folks, I can't go much about them. But
okay.
the Baptist church, because this little school up here, all nominations went. Children from all families of different nominations. But it's a Baptist institute. Founded and supported by the Baptist churches. And you know we run that school up there off buttermilk and eggs and a hen every now and then for a long time. And some of the greatest men and women anywhere come from Seneca Institute.
Did you ever go to any singing schools?
No, we're going to go to school this morning and sing. That's what messed us up. When we went to trying to teach some singing lessons over young. Now, that stuff is fine for now. You need it. But, honey, the best thing you ever had when they're singing round notes from the hymn book and just picking it up in the field and all, once you ever get out there and get to sing whatever you want to and get it right. And of course, as I said, the higher education come, the more learning. Then we took on this. You had training for school, you had training
when
for
nursing. Yes.
Oh, that's been back in the 1980s, around World War I, Institute was getting. You see, World War I, I remember going under the bed crying about World War I. I had two brothers to go in World War I. And all. Oh, he'd come along, 17, I stood, is what, around 100 years old. I can't just put it thing to thing. I'd have to go back and read some of my history books that I got. And you see, if I keep on, you'll find out how old I am, and I'm looking for a boyfriend. Get my age and get me there, I never will get a boyfriend.
Do you have any books from... You didn't attend the Seneca Institute itself, did you?
No, my sister did.
Do you have any of those history books? You said going back and reading history books. Do you have any books that have
I believe so,
pictures or whatever in it?
I ain't loathed these many years, but I think of some of my... What few books I had on Seneca Institute, you loan them out. And people don't bring them back. I had Dr. J.J. Stockroth, lo these many years, would give you the history of the foundation, the beginning of Seneca Institute. See, it started off just as Seneca, something better than the high schools, because Negroes didn't have them. And they started and it got to where they called it the Institute and they went to taking in boarding students. And it stayed in, I tell you, what to find. Off of eggs, chicken, hammer meat, gallon of molasses, all of that took to make up the salary and support of it. But it worked well.
Let me finish up one thing with the singing. And your church groups, when you were small, what kind of special meetings did you have? Did you have like a man's group and a woman's group or youth groups in your church?
No, we didn't have that. That come about in the more modern day that we divided. See, you used to. Now, when I was a child, my mama was a Sunday school teacher. They had the little children that couldn't read. Somebody would read. They had to call the catechism, a little card with the picture of the Lord on it, a verse Bible. And the grown person would read and explain it to them. They'd have them. Then the adults, men and women, would sit there and argue and mispronounce the Bible and do the best they could with it, but they learned enough of it to do right.
Where did your mother learn to read?
Down there at the old Charlotte. Her cousin, Tim Grant, was her cousin. He was teaching the school. Old one room with a chimney in it. And she said, Uncle Tim was her mama's brother, and he'd come by and get her a little girl in care, and he taught her an old blueback spelling book how to read and spell. On her family side, they all had pretty good education. They all was a teacher of that day. And still is to today. They, Dr. Riley Rock Hill and Dr. Riley Benedict College all come from her side of the family. Way back they, I don't know how they first started to learn, but they were educated from the very beginning. And then they spread it out. Because my mama appeared to shit and say a lot. If my mother had to live, oh, it's no telling what I'd have been, because she was her mother, little baby girl. And but her mother, well, you see, people didn't know then. They got sick, I think she took what they called TVs back then, a consumption. After her, she had a little brother young, and after that baby was born, she never did do no good. And she stayed sick maybe a year and died. And my mother, remember her mother, then her older sisters raised her. But they was grown, got married, went to having families of their own, so they...